this is the 2018 Game of the Year podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Featuring some hit killer intro music from Thief here.
Yeah, that's
you can
right.
Find your catalog where?
It's online at soundcloud.com/ Artie Strongman. That's ArtieStrongman. YouTube.com/ Artie Strongman Music. All right, check it out. Beats, instrumental hip hop stuff.
You got stuff on Spotify too.
A little Spotify, Apple Music. If you're down, we're down. Mm-hmm. So
we're also joined by John or Jay Frey.
Jay Frey all day on all social media platforms and Spotify and all streaming platforms like Spotify, Tidal, iTunes, and Twitch. I'm currently streaming Bloodborne, trying to platinum Bloodborne. I'm three trophies away from it. I need
so close.
I need two or four trophies. I'm sorry.
Four. Liar.
I know. I need
the
two endings.
John.
I need to defeat the boss at the end of the chalice dungeons, and I need one more hunter's tool to get, and that's unfortunately at the very end of the game that I missed on my first try. So
damn.
So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm obsessed with that game, and I'm going to platinum it before I get Sekiro, because that's the game I'm, spoiler alert, most looking forward to in 2019.
Hey,
and that's twitch.tv/
Jay Frey all day.
And I think that's a really good idea, platinum a game that you love and that's difficult to platinum, so other people that are playing that game can tune in. Like if I were to try to platinum Watch Dogs, no one would want to watch.
I mean, if there was a trophy for getting on top of a scaffolding that's going down the highway and
sniping people,
yeah,
I would have got that trophy day one.
Yeah,
and you're listening.
That was
to
Watch Dogs 2, though.
And that sweet voice is Buck.
Hi.
You've been streaming on twitch.com/ wait, twitch.tv, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Holy cow. Twitch.tv/ Fancy Ramen TV.
Yeah.
I'm sure people like that watch you and then watch me and vice versa are probably surprised because we're two very different people.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are you playing right? What are you streaming right now?
Darksiders, the first one with War. The first one I ever played was the second one with Death, and I loved it. So then I went ahead and downloaded, got a digital copy of the first one, and that's what I'm rocking with right now.
And that third one just came out, so that might be up next.
Who knows?
And you can find Jeff and all of us on Fancy Ramen's YouTube channel, where we do a lot of Let's Plays and What the Bucks, showing Jeff some new games that he's never played.
That's like the only social platform I'm on, is that, and Facebook. Everything else is dumb.
And you'll find us. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm scared now.
We don't want to invade your privacy too much. You can also find us on Twitter. That's going to be a little more active at twitter.com/fancyramenTV. And someday we'll hopefully steal Fancy Ramen, or excuse me, the Fancy Ramen Twitter handle fully.
Yeah.
It belongs to us.
Send someone to their house.
So 2018, it's over. It's now officially 2019. But a lot of games
from the future.
Games are coming.
We're coming from the future now. It's 2019.
What a...
Right into your hands.
Let's just start it off. 2018, a lot of games, some blockbusters. But who wants to tell me their favorite games of 2018?
Should we start with like some honorable mentions before we get to some stuff that we've played?
Yeah, what you got?
I got to give a shout out. It's for an honorable mention. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu. Because I got a Switch for the first time this year. And I haven't played Pokemon since Red and Blue. I haven't touched anything in between. So it's literally been 20 years since I've played a Pokemon game. And I've been loving my Switch because I could just play it whenever. And it's insane when you're playing a game 20 years later, how much stuff you still remember and how much of an impact it made on you.
Oh, for sure.
And because I'm not a Pokemon fan. And I just picked it up just because Jeff and I both got Switches at the same time. And He picked up Let's Go Eevee, and I picked up Pikachu. I was like, yeah, I'll try it out. And it's crazy how much you remember of, the cave where you find this and the
fossil.
Yeah, the fossils.
The stuff that doesn't show up on the map, you know where you can remember where it was at.
So I got to give a shout out to that game because it kind of brought me back to the roots a little bit, because I was like, holy shit, I totally forgot that this was there. And it's crazy how your mind takes you back to some of those early gaming memories. And it's been literally 20 years and I had a blast. I haven't beaten it yet, but having a blast playing it, and I'll beat it eventually, but it's definitely should have a shout out because it's definitely was a fun experience this year.
I was extremely skeptical after hearing all the changes they made to the formula, like no more random encounters, or at least you didn't fight your encounters, so to speak. You only follow other trainers mm-hmm. and a bunch of other things. But like ultimately, I think all of the changes they made for the benefit of like saving time on grinding and other things like that were actually really positive. Mm-hmm. And while I was skeptical at first, this is like maybe my favorite Pokemon game, which probably doesn't say much because I'm not like a huge fan of the series anymore. But I have played maybe a few hours into it myself. I've also been watching my girlfriend Tiffany play it, and I'm really enjoying it, actually. It's surprising how fantastic it is.
Yeah, and you bring up the random battle deal, and you know the you catch Pokemon like Pokemon Go, and then you fight trainers. You don't fight the Pokemon. You don't beat them to a pulp just to get them. Which actually is kind of awesome. It reminds me a lot of Persona 5, where you had the mementos grind, and then you had like the palaces that were specifically made for certain experiences. So you're like sitting there grinding trainers, and you're like, man, this is kind of getting old. But just right, it just like, you know, right after that, you'd have a section where you could just go hunt Pokemon and not have to worry about beating them up.
I disagree. I think you should be able to beat up wild Pokemon until submission.
Yes.
And they will give you their powers. That's the way the world works in Pokemon.
You got to.
That's the most important part of Pokemon.
You got to beat the shit out of that caterpillar. Just put them in that
it's
ball.
It's clinging on for fucking life.
But it is like a good alternative to never being able to catch a certain thing because you keep killing it in one hit. I mean, you would just.
Well, there are going to be casualties, Neil.
You're going to have to keep a weakling in your
Pokemon,
squad, Neil.
Not.
You need a Pokemon.
Nintendo
Pokemon.
Dogs.
That sounds like an already strong man, like. You're going to be playthrough. You're way too overpowered that yeah. You're just going to have to, you're killing all of them on accident.
I was a little upset too about the difference between the wild Pokemon thing. But once yeah. I accepted the fact that, you know, they made this strictly to sync up with that phone app.
Yeah.
They didn't make this to sort of continue the saga of the traditional Pokemon games. So like once I got over that, and I found out that they may or may not be coming out with something in 2019. And
yeah, 8th Gen's coming out this year.
An unnamed Pokemon. It took me to do that to truly appreciate the game. It was a lot of fun.
And it gets hard catching them, too, because they'll jump around.
It gets hard.
You got
to
really
get
tough.
The Nanner berries, toss them at the dick, because you need the Nanner to match up with the Nanner for them to kind of chill out.
The organic Nanner and the plant
yeah.
Nanner meet
I didn't
together.
Hear about that.
You got to drug them. You got to drug them instead of...
You
got to
drug the Nanners with the Nanners, yeah. And you drug the females with the berries.
Okay.
The only way to do it.
What a game. Nintendo.
They thought of everything.
I really do hope that the next generation of games, though, like gets rid of the random encounter in general. Because I think like random... Oh, hold on. I'm not saying you can't beat up other Pokemon. I'm just saying that like having them show up on the map is
that's
such
really
a
cool.
Better thing. Now.
Yeah,
I always prefer that over random encounters.
Yeah, absolutely. Like,
okay, now yeah. I see what you're saying. Sure. Yeah.
Like, because like if you're running through a field and you don't necessarily feel like fighting anything, it's easy enough just to run through, right?
Yep.
And if you're looking for a specific Pokemon, then
you can just mess around, go evading the other ones, hoping the new one comes up. Which
exactly.
Is like a when you're shiny hunting.
That shiny hunt. There's no math or algorithm, whatever, for that shiny shit.
I think the highest I was up to was like 40 trying to catch a Caterpie, a shiny Caterpie.
Yeah, I caught 80 Caterpie in a row. Didn't see one shiny Caterpie in that Vermilion Forest. And then out of nowhere, wasn't even hunting Pikachus. A shiny Pikachu freaking shows up. I was pissed.
It's like the RNG from the game was just throwing you a bone.
Yeah,
this guy.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's like, yeah, no, it's Buck. We're going to fuck with him. Yeah.
Is a shiny Pikachu basically just a shit-colored Pikachu, though?
It's shit green.
Is it really?
Some Pokemon are like sick-looking green poop.
Really?
And then the other ones, like, so I ran into two Geodude in the same cave also.
They look like Doogie?
No, but they look like they're gold nuggets. Some of them are gold, and then most of them are shit green.
Yeah, you'll get, like, the shiny, like, Mega Charizard, which is, like, black and blue and looks dope, right?
Right.
That's kind of cool.
That sounds
yeah.
cool.
Yeah. And but then you'll get like a shit colored Caterpie.
I think the Caterpies are gold.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, but I think shit with fur is I think that's what I noticed. Anything that has fur, you're like a shit olive green.
Okay, so does the Butterfree stay gold or is it shit colored too?
That one I don't know. I only know like some of the beginning stages of some of them, not all of them. I was just kind of assuming because it's fun for me, Neil.
That was my honorable mention. Long story short, would you guys have any honorable mentions?
Yeah. Hold on, I got my cheat notes here.
I got one while you're pulling that up. Curse of the Moon, Bloodstains. Curse of the Moon. It is the it's kind of like the freebie game that they did for Bloodstain. What the hell is it called?
Oh yeah,
not Symphony of the Night, Ritual of the Night,
yeah,
which is obviously a Symphony of the Night, like spiritual successor,
yep.
made by Igarashi. That game just felt so tight in ways that it shouldn't, and at the same time also still evoked like original Castlevania vibes, along with Ninja Gaiden at the same time. And there's a few twists to the game that I thought like we really didn't, I guess, deserve. The twists and like the amount of love and effort that went into that game.
Yeah, it looks great. And it's like for the price of a Chipotle burrito, you can get it too. Like it's like 10 bucks on
get your priorities straight. Which one do you want?
E-shop. Yeah.
You want a dope game or something that's going to turn to poo?
And I literally was looking at it last week because I really wanted to play it. It looks, and I've always wanted, I've never dove deep into a Castlevania NES game, but it looks like it's everything that made those good without like the retro shit that makes you not want to play it when you don't have like hundreds of hours to do it.
As someone that's played like half of the original Castlevania games, like to completion and then some, there's a few games that I only beat once. I can kind of say, and maybe this is because I'm disillusioned with Konami as a whole at this point and Castlevania, but I can kind of say you could just play Curse of the Moon and you would get the full, aside from like Symphony of the Night and the later ones, you would get mm-hmm. the full experience. Yeah, I stand by that.
Cool.
Yeah,
I need to pick it up. When is that? When's the actual game coming out?
God, who knows? And it might not even be that good. That's the scary thing.
It doesn't
thing.
Look that good. It looks like it's got that Mighty No. 9 vibe a little bit.
It's the same company.
Oh, really?
Oh,
wow. Oh no.
No one's going to trust them.
It's like I don't know what Mighty No. 9 is. Prom night.
What's Mighty No. 9?
It was a Mega Man spiritual successor and also kickstarted just like Ritual of the Night, and it wasn't very good.
Oh, we're good. You know,
it's like people really want like these pixelated recreations of these games, but it's so much cheaper to make them in like a 3D engine, and that Mega Man Mighty No. 9 just looks like it was like a student at a game college trying to make a game.
Yeah, it does kind of look kind of cheap compared to like a Mega Man X game.
God, dude.
Depressing. Yeah. You have any weird. Do the two of you have any?
I'm ready to tell y'all my game of the year. Right
I'm about
now.
Ready to tell y'all my game of the year.
Yo, what's your game of the year?
Being biased, probably because we played it as a group, but it was probably Detroit.
Oh
yeah,
I did not see that coming.
It is number one. Other games I played were Far Cry 5 was going to be my honorable mention.
Okay,
that game. I'm not going to go into it too much. Then I also bought a Switch. I've been playing three games. The Let's Go Eevee, the Kirby Star Allies. That was a lot of fun. That's that game you come home to. You don't want to think. You just want to have a little fun. Hear some catchy music. Control a pink little marshmallow. Fly with them. Swallow mm-hmm. stuff. Get mm-hmm. the powers. That's the game to play when you come home from work. You don't want to do nothing.
It's like that. Those empty calories.
That's right. Super Smash Brothers haven't beat it, but we've been squatting up on that. And the last one I played.
How was that like empty calories?
Also, I don't know. Not the last one I played, but the worst one I played this year was We Happy Few.
Oh, I started streaming most excited for that game.
I was. Yeah. Well, because the trailer that they made, those graphics
awesome.
Looked awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's what the game's going to be like.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. I didn't know that it was kind of a low budget game. I did not know that. I didn't like the crafting. Or,
it had the weird, like, Bioshock-ish vibes to it, right?
It did. I swear there was a glitch. I have no proof for this, but sometimes I'd be wearing the right clothes in the right area. I was on my joy, and people, all of a sudden, this red bar would fill up on top of people, meaning like, oh, they notice you and they're going to start attacking you. There was two times while I was playing it that no matter what I did, everyone's like at like in sync. Everyone's red bars just started going.
Okay, I got an explanation for you. You see, your PlayStation camera is able to pick up on your own happiness, and you were not happy playing.
Damn, well, that is a good game.
And you were probably running down the street, fully visible.
Well, yeah, you can hide in plain sight
because he took his joy, so he's supposed to be happy. And the whole point is,
I was wearing proper clothes, not my ragged ass suit, and it was just that game wasn't for me. I returned that, and Destiny 2.
You returned it?
I've never
heard that.
I gave it to GameStop for money. Excuse me.
You returned Destiny 2?
Yeah, Destiny 2. When I got Destiny 2 Forsaken, I just went and got that. So then I traded that Destiny 2, not the Forsaken, like the OG copy.
Oh, so you bought Destiny 2 different. Okay.
Yeah, so I traded in Destiny 2 and
what
We Happy Few.
What did they give you for Destiny 2?
I think maybe 5, 8, 10 bucks.
That's pretty good.
But they gave me and they gave me 30 for We Happy Few.
That's pretty really good.
That was good deals,
bro. Because I returned We Happy Few in maybe 2 weeks. So anyway, I traded those two in for a deposit on a pre-order purchase of Smash Brothers.
Yes.
We got videos of that out. But hands down, Detroit, I had so much fun playing that with you guys. And Heavy Rain, that's the other game.
You haven't played it already, have you?
No, I played Two Souls. What was that one?
Yeah, Beyond Two Souls.
Beyond Two Souls. I played that by myself. It was pretty fun. Detroit. It trumps that for sure. That makes that game look pretty dumb.
I'm shocked that that's still your game of the year. Just because did you play it anymore or
no? Just with you guys,
because there are like better routes in that game. I think
his route is his route, Neil.
No, that's fine.
Stay in my lane, Neil. I didn't play that many.
Everyone
new games.
Died
because I was really another thing I was doing was like homework because you could get those NES and SNES games. And the first thing I ever owned was a Game Boy that I hid. And then after that, my only other real experience with video games before I bought a PS4 were, you know, whatever console was over at the sleepover party when you're young and stuff on the computer.
Word.
Which is why we created What the Buck. So check that out on YouTube /FancyRamen.
So I didn't play a lot of new games. I was catching up on old stuff that I never experienced when I should have. And I get overwhelmed with all the free games you get. I gotta get them. I don't know if I'm ever gonna play them, but it's just overwhelming. You see new games come out that you want to play, but you're like, "Shit, I still got Mafia 3 on my PS4 that I got three, four months ago." It's a stupid problem to have.
Yeah, it was partly why I stopped my PlayStation Plus membership is because like I
too much good stuff.
There was just so much free shit that I felt compelled to play, and then I found myself playing some like not horrible.
Steam
but, like,
isn't any better though.
Pretty bad 2D platformer named
it's just
Pantheon,
such a silly and, thing to complain about, but the struggle's real.
Struggling over getting these free games at a great value.
The struggle's real, but it's such a silly thing to complain about. Any hooter. Can I name a few games, or are we going to do that later, that I wanted to play but didn't get around to it? You want to wait for Keith to say his
thing? Let's cap that off with the podcast off with that before we
we'll talk about the future out at the end.
Yeah, Keith, we'll talk about your future.
Come on,
like
Keith.
Ms. Cleo.
You guys ready for my game of the year?
I got cards, man.
Y'all know it's God of War.
Wah, 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 wah.
Saw that coming?
I didn't realize you were such a AAA shill.
Oh, Neil. Listen, Neil. You don't understand the greatness.
Greatness.
You just don't understand the greatness. Name one bad thing about God of War PS4 other than fast travel.
Camera angle.
You're an idiot. Everyone at home.
No, I love the camera angle.
Everyone at home. Throw stuff at your screen.
Troll Neil.
Neil's off the team.
Or throw him.
Neil's off the team now, guys.
He's in the hockey hot box.
What makes God of War great, Keith?
Power play, Keith.
Okay. Have you heard the soundtrack? You think that's like a weak OST? Get the fuck out of here. Have you played the combat? All right, you play a game like God of War, okay? The combat is so good. And then you try like just a weaker combat game, action based. Say you play Devil May Cry after that.
There's weight like, to God of War's combat too. Like, man.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Okay, because I started playing Killer is Dead like a couple months ago.
What's that?
It's a 360 action game, story game. It's really hard to describe.
Is it a
slasher?
It's
got like God of War type, you know, X in your controller to attack.
It's kind of a character action type game. Like, there's a bit of Bayonetta in it, too.
No.
Like, fast.
When you play that and you're just like, wow, God of War is just, there's never been a game with action-based combat that type before.
There's and I don't think I ever saw a glitch in God of War.
No glitches.
I don't think I ever saw one.
Great story. Interesting story. Good dialogue.
Did the kid annoy you at all?
Nah.
No?
Not at all. All
right.
And the pacing between main story and side stuff, there was never like... everything that happened almost seemed like it was on purpose, even though you were clearly doing side missions or you were clearly going to a main mission. It just like everything was so like the canoes, like being in the canoe with Mimir and
yeah, it's the little things.
Yeah.
So do you feel like, and this is also, I did not bring this up as an honorable mention because I knew this was going to be something we'd talk about, just an FYI.
Yeah, he's no dummy, Keith.
Come on, Keith.
You've already thought this through, Neil.
So
I was
going to ask, because since I first experienced the game watching Tiffany play it, so I didn't get hands-on until after.
Shout out, Tiffany.
Was the plot...
What's up, Tiff?
Was like the major plot twist... I think it's safe to do spoilers because this is a Game of the Year podcast, right?
Jeff needs to play it.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't spoil it. You can't spoil it.
So no spoilers, but yeah. I just want to ask, is the big twist involving the big twist...
Was that supposed
to be like a really good? Was that a really good twist for you guys?
Yes, for me it was. Yeah,
was it a sex change?
It was big for me. I loved it.
So Tiffany is like, I think she studied it or something because she knows Norse mythology extremely well, and she called it like halfway through the game.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I didn't think that hard. I figured,
you tell Tiffany. That if she ever watches me play a game, she better not spoil anything.
What did you think?
I was caught off guard with it. I mean, when I was playing Last of Us, for example, I always felt like one of them was going to turn evil by the end of the series. But I didn't really get that feeling so much with God of War. So I was like, well, Last of Us would have done it if somebody's going to do it. Otherwise, you'd have like these two games doing like the same fucking storyline.
And at the time... I thought the big twist had already happened when you were fighting what's his bucket, and you figure out, you know, what the lady was.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was the actual twist.
Yeah.
Right, Buck?
Yeah, man. Yeah, Buck.
I thought that was the twist, and I was like, oh, that's sweet. I thought that was great, and then it kind of left the door open for the next game, and then all of a sudden this was like just like a cherry on top at the end.
I mean, the twist wasn't as good as Fallout 4's amazing twist. You know, that was probably one of the greatest twists of gaming history.
Sarcasm?
Never played it.
But it's a good twist. It's okay twist. I twist with it. It's cool.
Twist and shout.
Twist and shout.
Did it bother you? Did it bother you?
No, it didn't. Okay. In fact, I didn't necessarily think she was going to be right about it myself, but since it was someone else playing, I was also playing like a 3DS game too at the same time, so I wasn't getting like
just
relationship goals.
Ruined it.
well, there's also timeline issues there too. Like they do a whole different.
So
yeah,
that's explainable pretty easily.
Oh, is it? Okay, well then we'll go get about later. That. Yeah, we'll talk about that offline.
Much later. Yeah, so continue. Continue on with God of War.
I don't remember what he was saying.
It's game of the year. That's simple.
Riveting.
One more needs
content.
To be said.
What was that?
Back it up.
All right. The graphics. What do you think of the graphics?
They were awesome.
Like fucking killed it. Like everyone who worked on that game like
deserves
that game.
A rub
They're
and tug.
The best at what they do.
They deserve a rub and tug is what a free one.
Yeah, I thought you were gonna say like everyone who made that game deserves a pat on the back. Like
they also
they really did a good job.
They deserve one from you, Neil.
What
you should go find them and pat them on the back in their sleep.
What a bunch of blue collars just working hard.
Pat them on the back when they're throwing up in the bathroom
from stress
from their game
when they're
the
in the shower.
Awards.
Go pat them on the back
from the stress that they
Creep.
Know Keith isn't gonna like their next game because it won't be up to par.
The way that
I'm disgusted.
The way the axe hit your hand every single time.
Did you feel it?
Oh,
thing.
Yeah.
Did
you
feel
felt it?
It?
I felt it deep.
The sound design in that game was super impressive. Like that. That much I can say to you.
The skill trees and all the moves that you could unlock and string together, especially when you got to the Valkyries, was one of the coolest things, because we were talking about this before we started recording. Like, the Valkyrie fights at the end of the game that unlocked when you beat the game were like high level fighting game. Like, it was like you were taking on like a competitive fighter. You had to be perfect, and that just shows how awesome the mechanics were, and that you can grind and grind for like the was it Niflheim armor, mm-hmm. where you had to do like that
the German,
where you had that in that fog realm where you had to go and like beat all these guys in a certain time, and I forget exactly what it was.
Yeah, the trials or what?
The trials, Mazel, yeah.
Something with an M.
I thought it was Niflheim, but yeah, it's maybe.
Who knows anymore, man?
I called it torture.
Yeah, there wasn't enough visual novels for Neil to get to really.
Yeah, no, like those parts were fucking difficult.
Yeah, they were.
Like,
well, you also got to keep in mind that Neil hates children.
That's true.
And he has always said that. He's repeatedly said that. I've heard him say it multiple times.
We just haven't been able to get it on camera or microphone.
Yeah, but he's out here saying it. And I think that has
he's making his own rules.
He doesn't like God of War because there's a child in it.
Streets.
If I wanted a baby raising simulator, I'd just play baby raising simulator, okay?
You would just buy a cabbage
patch. Neil was just waiting for them to be like, Kratos, you need to grab your axe. And for Kratos to reply with, my axe? Like every visual novel.
Fabio,
you need to grab your axe. My axe? But they answer every question with the same question.
Oh. Okay. I feel
you. You know what I'm saying.
So,
Metal Gear?
What runner-ups did you have then?
There was none. Because that was the game.
No other mentions needed?
Well, what were the other top games out?
There's Assassin's Creed.
There might have been a couple.
Odyssey.
Assassin's Creed is
Spider-Man.
Weak.
Celeste.
Spider-Man looks pretty
Messenger.
Cool. All right. That was one of those years where you just kind of like chill
Red
and
Dead.
Play the games you haven't played yet.
Yeah. Did any of us play Red Dead?
No.
I did. No, Neil did. Yeah. He streamed it.
Yeah, I streamed it for a bit.
And?
So is your list officially done then?
Were you kind of like me?
Yeah.
You didn't play too many?
I was playing mostly older games.
2018,
last year, yeah. Because it's one of those years you catch up on your library
mm-hmm.
as it grows bigger and bigger for no reason.
2018 for me, professionally or outside of Fancy Ramen, was also extremely busy. So I found myself like gravitating way more towards games that allowed me to pick them up and play them and then set them back down within a span of an hour or two, tops.
Switch.
Yep.
Don't.
In which case, I have two games that both are on Switch that made my top three.
Bayonetta 1. Bayonetta 3. Sorry, Neil. Go ahead.
I think it's Bayonetta.
Okay, so the controversial list here. My runner is up first. Messenger. I fucking love that game. That's not the controversial part, because mm-hmm. Messenger is like a great 2D platformer.
That's a new game.
Yeah, well, it's new, but it definitely would look like you just picked up a Nintendo or maybe a Super Nintendo.
Okay.
It's a game where you play kind of like a Ninja Gaiden type character, and initially it looks like you're playing like a Nintendo, like an NES darling game, if you will. And I mean, spoilers are allowed, right?
Yeah, I don't think they show the differences in the trailer, so you don't like.
So, fun fact: I didn't watch the trailer before I got it. I just heard a lot of people tell me, like, yeah. "Hey, you need to pick this up." So, there's time travel involved, and the time travel actually is incorporated through the game's design and aesthetics and sound. When you travel into the future, it becomes a Super Nintendo game or a 16-bit game. And the soundtrack also becomes, you know, more complex in that case too, better resolution and so forth. And you travel back and forth throughout stages, because in the past, the levels will be a little different. You can get through different places in 8-bit mode than you can in 16-bit mode. And the game also seems very linear to begin with, kind of like Ninja Gaiden or original Castlevania. And then it becomes a Metroidvania game,
Sounds fun.
50% of the way through.
Yeah.
And this is all backed up with a lot of like ridiculously funny, sarcastic at times writing.
Did you do the closet joke?
Yeah.
So like so the one of the best characters is the guy that you save games with, and he's got this closet on the side, and if you go over to this closet and you press up or whatever, he's like, "Don't look in my closet." And then you just press up, he's like, "I'm serious, don't, please don't." Keep pressing up, he's like, "If you do that one more time, press up." He's like, "I told you," like, and then you do up and up and up and up. And you did it for like 20 some times. I don't remember exactly how it ended though.
Well, so there's something that I didn't personally do, but I heard about it. But he tries to deter you even further by giving you this really long ass speech.
Oh yeah, he goes. Yes.
I think he prevents you to from even skipping through.
Yeah, he goes. He says something to the effect of, if you mess with my closet one more time, I'm going to like tell you a story that will be 100% unskippable. And then you do it again, which I did. And it's this long text-based story that he just sits there in behind his desk, and it just runs and runs and runs and runs. It was a great joke.
It's exactly like what I want from indie developers moving forward to, like, people that are conscious enough to realize when that they don't always have to write serious stories, but it can be like somewhat serious, but still have enough humor in it to like to keep you laughing and smiling all the way through the game. So I technically still haven't finished the game. I'm still collecting the last green medals before I finish it.
Get that loot. Yeah.
But there's nothing that game can do at this point to make me lower it on its list, unless it somehow condones like some horrible thing. Yeah. I guess. The second runner up is Octopath Traveler.
Hey.
Shout out.
I'm not gonna go too far into it. Have you beaten it, John?
I am 12 hours into it. I have two more people to get. I'm a six-to-path traveler right now. I just need to get two more.
Would that be
sex-to-path?
Yes,
it'd be a sex-to-path, but yeah.
The adult version of the game.
I think. Gosh. I can go grab it and see where I'm at. But yeah, I need two more people to get. I'm still on a chapter one because that's a long-ass game.
It's extremely long. I put more than 100 hours into that game. And again, if I think this were any other year and I had more time to play video games than I did in 2018, this might not have been at the top. It might have been Spider-Man or God of War. But I didn't. And this game was pretty easy for me to pick up and get through a chapter and then put it back down. Pick up and like get through an optional dungeon and put it back down. And without divulging in spoilers, since you're still playing, I just felt that, like, in a weird way, when people thought that... I read a lot of reviews of people saying that, like, all of the eight stories didn't really combine together in, like, a cohesive plot. But to me, it was easier to enjoy... It was easier to enjoy, like, all of the eight different characters because they all had such, like, different themes, I guess.
Yeah, and I loved being able to, as soon as you meet one, you can play the prelude of their story and then bring them on, and then you can keep going on your way. I thought that was a really cool idea.
How many dudes you got to pick up?
Eight.
Are they all dudes? Oh, this
there are four
though.
Girls. No wonder you like this game. Four guys.
Yeah. I just got the thief. The thief was the last one I got.
Tyrion or Tyrion, depending on which voice pack you use.
I didn't know there was a voice pack.
So if it's got English and Japanese voices, that's like the one thing that I'm kind of like annoyed with. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, who's the best character in that game?
It depends on which voice pack you pick.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Because I feel like
has a different voice.
If you either choose English or Japanese, and I like this is something that I've discussed to great lengths with Tiffany and Scott and Cookie.
Voice acting.
But the English voice acting is dramatically different for some characters than the Japanese voice acting. So
if you do the Japanese voice acting, can you still get English captions?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, because I was picturing they were there. That's why I laughed.
It's like, how does Neil understand?
What are you saying?
So
like, the sure.
It's called dual audio.
Are you using English?
I take it.
So the thief sounds like a fucking dumbass in my opinion with the English voice. He's annoying as shit. Supposed to sound cool. Yeah, exactly. He sounds dope as fuck in Japanese.
Oh. He's probably got a lot of swagger. Well, and then I started with Oberic, the warrior. That's his name, right?
Oberic.
He's Oberic, and I am a noble warrior. And like,
oh, that douche.
Yeah.
He's the Steiner. Coming. Is that his name, Steiner?
The battle is truly yours, or whatever it said. I don't know.
He also voices like a bunch of characters from JRPGs I've played over the last couple of years. So I just constantly, like, I know that English voice actor's names, or voice rather, so well that, like, I immediately think of these characters too. He's a good voice actor, though. I mean, he plays his character well. But yeah, he kind of sounds like a buff doofus, right?
Yep. I liked Primrose's story from the start, like the first chapter. That one was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty dark. You immediately are basically you're basically told from the start that she has not only like sacrificed her childhood, but has essentially sold her body in order to work on this revenge.
Yeah,
like it's pretty.
And there's some really like game. Like. Right out the gate, there's deaths that you see, and you're just like, damn, wow. It's almost like, I mean, they all need something to go on there.
Bleed out like Vandal Hearts?
Oh, God. That's like the goriest game when you think about it.
Yeah. Just blood shooting out of their body every like time Kill they Bill? Lose HP. Yes. But more anime.
Yes.
Way more anime.
I just realized that is kind of anime.
It's pretty anime.
But it's also kind of real, maybe. I don't know. You know. I've never killed anyone with a battle axe.
I don't know.
I swear to God. I don't know what that would feel like. God damn it.
Or government, if you're listening.
I didn't, dude.
Did not happen. He
no
denies
one's listening
it.
To the
no
government.
No battle axes.
There's a shutdown. No
I mean,
listening.
I mean, if That's they true. Do listen to us, I'd be greatly pleased. That
I would, too. I would love to.
They're not getting paid to listen to us.
Following you, Buck.
No. I don't got any followers. I'm not on any platforms.
You get one follower on your Twitter, it's just the FBI. Just to send you a message.
Hi, Jeffrey.
Okay.
How was your Cheerios this morning? Wait, what?
Octopath Traveler. The final thing to
go
say
to McDonald's
is
today,
that
not Burger King. Trust me.
The optional ending to that game, the optional last boss, if that weren't there, this game would not be near my top. But because of the quote-unquote optional final dungeon and last boss thing, it's by far, like, it has to be in my top three.
Is it Beyonce?
Mm-hmm. Dope.
It is. Okay, let me put it this way. I had always thought the game was heavily inspired by Saga Frontier beforehand and Romancing Saga.
I can see that for sure.
But then I played the ending, and I was like, no, this was inspired by Final Fantasy VI.
Oh.
He's saying there might be an end of a world type situation?
Or they're, I don't know, man. You're taking it in a different direction, is what I'm saying. Different direction from what
he's about to buy a Switch on Amazon on his phone right now.
I'm doing it.
And the people.
Buck, let me borrow your phone.
You want my credit card too?
It's already in there, right?
Yeah. Got the social security number? Yeah. But yeah, that's it. So the controversial pick is that my favorite game of 2018 was Deltarune Chapter 1.
Dude, I don't know that game.
I don't. Never heard of that one. Keith? Oh, that's the Square mobile game.
Nope. That, I don't know what that is.
Is that a ship game?
A what game? A ship game?
Like
a,
yeah. Like your
spaceship?
Yeah, like a top-down shooter.
Nope.
Like a
pizza ship?
It is the sequel.
Do you guys know what a ship is?
It's the sequel to Battlefield.
A ship?
Battlefield 1? Battlefield 2 is your game of the year?
Deltarune Chapter 1 is the sequel to Undertale.
Oh! Yeah, I saw some gameplay of that too long ago.
It's fucking rad as shit, but like even the creator himself said it was a demo. But like
I looked that up. I think you made that up.
I watched it like 2 days ago.
It was legitimately the fucking coolest thing. Again, this is obviously a personal list, but the coolest fucking thing I played in 2018. It was only 3 hours long, but like it got me more hyped than anything else did in this year. And maybe it's because I liked Undertale. But like 3 hours.
Oh, you're right. It is a real game.
It is a real game or a real demo, depending on who you talk to. But it's longer than a lot of games are.
Yep.
Interesting. So I didn't know that Undertale had a sequel.
Or it might not be a sequel either.
I need to play Undertale.
In fact,
it looks like it
could be.
It's in the universe somehow.
It is in, according to the creator, an alternate universe. But
it's like Thanos is there.
I mean, like, so you guys haven't beaten Undertale, right?
Snapping his fingers
and junk.
No. No, I haven't.
There's reason to believe that, like, you can theorize that there is a character that transcends between the two worlds. And that's like one of the many reasons why I'm so excited for the like the full game whenever it comes out in 50 years or something. But it was a delight to play. It got me feeling like it was like an emotional roller coaster in some extent, or in some ways. I felt some pretty low lows, some devastating lows, and I felt some extremely like heavenly highs all within the course of 3 hours.
Heavenly highs.
Heavenly highs, okay? This isn't just any sort of normal feel-good high.
It's above cloud nine.
How much of this game would you appreciate if you hadn't played Undertale?
I think I maybe would have gotten like 70% out of it at that point, or 60. Like, there is still a story and there are still independent characters, but what boosted it over was the knowledge from Undertale and the fact that like all of these characters that we're playing with, like one or two exceptions, have a story to them, or have like an alternate reality to them, alternate timeline. And knowing that you're playing a character who is potentially a very big deal in the other universe and has a very specific history makes you feel very mixed as you play through the game.
It's Metal Gear Solid 3 then. Because you're playing Big Boss.
Yeah, it's I mean, that's actually kind of it. Like, you don't know how on you actually might be.
Whoa.
On that. You could be playing Big Boss in this game.
I want to play Metal Gear Solid 3 now.
I'm getting this game. This is a Hideo Kojima project. Yeah, you see it at the end.
Deltarune, my favorite game of this year, even if it's a demo.
I respect your opinion. I want to check it out now.
You guys can't play it until you play Undertale, though. I think you would lose a lot of the effect not playing it beforehand.
Got that on PS4.
I think Keith's played Undertale.
Played a bit of it.
Yeah, I got really close to the end. I think it was like before a Valley of Fire type thing.
Did you kill anyone?
Yeah, I killed most of the people.
John, it's your
it's
turn.
Me. Okay, well, so my game of the year has an asterisk on it because it was the game of the year. Shout out to Scott.
Scott!
We miss you, Scott.
Scott!
Hollow Knight was his game of the year of 2017. And I played it in 2018. It came out on PS4 in 2018, so that's why I say asterisk, even though I played it on the Switch.
I mean, it was released in 2018
it was.
On Switch.
And that game, and we could go back into the archives to last year's podcast and just replay Scott's review, because his is way better than whatever mine was going
to
be.
Scott's face, or just audio to pop in real quick here. Just have him say hi to us back.
Like a hologram or something?
Yeah.
But that game, done by three people, two coders and a guy who did the music, was my favorite game this year, just because it was just everything I needed. It was Metroidvania, beautiful art, beautiful music, the upgrade system with the charms, everything like that just was wonderful. And that was the first game I beat on my Switch, and it was just like literally just a perfect game, in my opinion. It was hard enough that it was like platforming wise that satisfying, and the bosses were really hard, and those are really fun. But since it did came out last year on Steam and Switch, and God of War's and God of War's already been picked, because that would have been my top two.
No, you can pick God of War.
But I'm going to go.
You guys,
it's a great
the
game.
The first time we did this, I think you and Neil had the exact same order.
We did.
You guys
were
in cahoots.
Oh, yeah.
But I also want to bring this to the table, because my other game that I absolutely adored this year was Celeste.
Oh, that's when you're the anxiety lady?
Really good.
Yeah. And
with the strawberries and shit?
Dude, that game, like with the Super Meat Boy type death mechanic where you immediately respawn, and the music and how it dealt with like anxiety and the climbing the mountain figuratively and literally, and the soundtrack was phenomenal, And everything about that just brought me back to like playing Donkey Kong Country for the first time or something that was like really tough and just, but gave you like, you weren't scared of dying at all. You just kept on getting after it and getting after it and getting after it. And it was like definitely one of my favorite experiences of the year. And everyone should play that game.
Yeah. You could almost say that the way you approach that game is much like how the character was approaching her own problems too.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And they did a really good job putting whatever story elements that they had into a platformer. Like you don't get stuff like that. Like the people that you find on the mountain, the friends that you make, and then how the bad guy is literally your anxiety in like ghost form chasing you, and everything about it was just.
It's a neat concept. They did a really good job.
I know you're holding on to a bit of information that you don't necessarily want to say in case someone else plays. And there's something more to it, too, that I think is very symbolic.
Wesley Snipes?
Very good. It's got a mechanic much like Curse of the Moon where it's like they are able to make a gameplay mechanic stand for a symbolic thing as well. That
which one are you talking about? Are we talking about the time where
I'm talking about how you have to utilize the antagonist if you want to?
Oh, I thought at the very end.
Yeah.
That's a spoiler, but
well, that's why I was saying you're not trying to reveal it.
yeah. No, it's the way it all comes together to.
I mean, we can avoid saying it. I didn't know if you wanted to hold.
No,
off
it's on essentially.
No, don't say it.
No, at the very
don't say it for them.
Strawberries.
So, don't do it.
Right, I already know it.
I'm on chapter four right now.
They change fruit on you. Is that the twist?
I spent 2 days
the
on
fruit
the final
is trying to kill you.
The final level. I spent 2 days like getting to the top of that mountain. I felt spent so long because it was like my hands were cramping up. I was burning the rubber off my left Tits. Joystick.
Yeah.
And you're playing it now on Xbox, right?
Playing it right now. I started last week.
Your favorite part so far?
Because that's one of the free games, correct?
My favorite part is when the hotel manager is chasing you on the roof and you have to run away from him. Because the music is, there's like this sweet-ass drum fills going on like every four bars. Mm. It's so sick. And it's such a fun level.
Yeah. And it's, we talked about
this
earlier.
And it built up to it, too.
The red blobs that if the little fibers on the blob, on the platforms that when you touch them you can't go back to them.
Mm-hmm.
So like they turn into the blob. Like that level I took me all night one time to beat because it was just so tough. And then at the very end you get like you're getting chased by this dude and it just like you said it just ups it and ups it and ups it and
his backstory is interesting. Like everything about that was just so well
the hotel
put together.
Manager?
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out because I do have it downloaded, but
we might have to put some pillows around just in case you throw the controller
oh,
somewhere.
Oh yeah, that's
which one of those games?
Yeah,
is there a mechanic in that game that'll basically let you skip stages?
Not it that has an assist mode.
Okay.
Oh yeah, and it gives you like
I don't know what it does.
It slows down your jump, I think. But gives you like regular control or like more control, so you can do everything kind of in slow motion.
Doesn't it give you like invincibility from spikes and stuff?
I don't know that.
Okay.
So there are tools to at least help you partway through, so you don't necessarily have to throw your controller. But
didn't use them. Don't use them.
There should be a trophy for not using them.
Because it's like the feeling you get. I can only describe it as like a beating a Souls boss. It's like you put the controller down and you're just like, whew.
Yeah, it's a good combination of puzzles and skill.
Yeah.
Because there's usually a certain way you got to time your jumps or what's going on. So it's definitely a puzzle game in real time that makes it really fun.
And how you only get one dash after you like you have to touch something in order to get your dash back. So you have to really time everything. And you should play it, Jeff.
I'll check it out. I might have to be high so I don't break seven controllers.
Don't play it high.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that.
No.
My hands are sweating every time I put the controller down after playing it.
Like Rocket League when it first came out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to focus and it's intense.
It gives you adrenaline, just trying to like land everything.
But there's absolutely no penalty in dying. So like you can just
So you don't have like 10 lives and you gotta re-get 10 lives.
You respond like that and you're right there. So it's really rewarding that way. So that was my I would say that was probably my game of the year since I can't use Hollow Knight, but came out of nowhere. I knew God of War was gonna be awesome, but I didn't expect Celeste. That came out of nowhere.
So you're saying God of War is your game of the year if I didn't pick God of War as my game of the year?
For the sake of entertaining content and more better discussion, yes.
Different games. All right. We all had different games.
We all had so God of War is in first place with two votes. Neil's
well, how about we do this?
Shit ain't shit.
I shared
Buck's
my
shit ain't shit.
I shared my worst game of 2018. Do you guys just real quick?
Before we do that, did you have any games that any other games to mention?
Oh man, I would mention Octopath. We already talked about that. Yeah. As a RPG rookie, I have never played any. I played a little bit of Final Fantasy VI, a little bit of Chrono Trigger, so I don't really fully get like the warm and fuzzies from playing that game. But I definitely like what I'm playing so far with Octopath. I mean, I played some old games this year too. Like I played Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare for the first time this year. I beat Metroid Zero Mission.
Jesus.
I know. I beat Metroid Zero Mission. A Way Out, I'll give a shout out because that was the Keith and I played that on on Fancy Ramen. That was fun.
Who won? Oh, you killed John, didn't you, Keith?
Yeah, he did.
He lost it. He would have killed me, man.
No.
I had no choice. One of us had to go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let me give him one good shout out because Buck didn't mention it. I wanted him to. Destiny Forsaken, I had a blast playing this year.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun too. I just gave it up a little bit ago to start Darksiders to see if I wanted to get 3. But anyway.
Yeah, we played the hell out of Destiny 2 when it came out, and then it is well with everyone else's opinion that it fell off. And then when Destiny 2 Forsaken came back, the year later pretty much, they fixed all the problems with the progression. They fixed the grinding, the loot drop, and added a bunch of new game types. And Jeff and I played a ton of Gambit. And Gambit,
so fun.
Gambit, like 10 years ago back in college, like would have been the thing to play.
Oh, God, just smashing beers and playing Gambit?
Yeah, it's so funny. It was so fun. It's like, for those who don't know, it's a PvE and PvP. So you have two teams that are all that are on both sides. On different portals, so they're all killing these enemies and collecting motes.
At the beginning, the Drifter picks the type of enemy you're playing.
Yep,
you get these motes.
You have to stash them in. You have to stash them in this little like hub area.
Mm-hmm.
And once you stash enough motes, if you stash 6, 10, and 15, you send a bad guy over to their side.
Yeah.
So every 6, 10, you have to get 75 to get to finish it.
Yeah.
So every 6, 10, every 6, 10, and 15, you send someone over there. And when you send someone over there, someone from your team can go over to their portal start taking them out.
Once you deposit enough motes at certain tiers of the game, there might be 2 or 3 before Primeval's born.
Yeah, and a Primeval is when you get to 75, there's this huge boss that your team's got to take out. If you take him out first, you win. So, like, you're literally fighting this other team for motes to get to the Primeval first.
Can they still invade you when they're fighting the... Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's really fun.
So, say you only have, like, 40 motes, but they're already... The other team's already doing work on their Primeval.
Mm-hmm.
Your portal will more sporadically show up, so you can go over in there and mess with their progress.
So, Jeff and I had my guy specced out to be just fast as hell. And I would run through and I'd collect all these motes and I'd hit the portal up and Buck would always run through the portal and every kill that he would get
heals
our team and heals their Primeval if they had one, but also if they die they lose all the motes that they've got stored up.
It kind of reminds me of like Overrun in some weird way. Just
what's Overrun
in Gears of War Judgment?
Okay, yeah, or Horde mode of some type.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. It's like it's but
like there's a goal you have to destroy and
yeah,
you're constantly coming out of each other to try to stop your progress.
Yeah.
In that sense.
Was the first Raid also released for Destiny 2 specifically in 2018, or did that come out in 17?
The Forsaken, there was a Forsaken, two Forsaken raids that came out. There was the Last Wish that came with the Forsaken expansion, and then there was the Black Armory one that came with the DLC that came like a month ago. So they're doing these more gradual content drops instead of just like two expansions a year. It's now an annual pass, and you just get content every month and stuff like that.
So this might be a little off topic, but I don't know if you guys heard the news, but Activision and Bungie split ways.
Yeah.
As Destiny,
they got a divorce.
Fans,
it's over.
But Bungie
is
retains
it our fault?
The probably
because they don't love you.
Is it our fault?
You guys didn't buy enough Destiny 2 copies.
I miss Activision.
No, but so Bungie does retain the rights to Destiny.
Yeah.
Do you guys think that's going to be good ultimately for Destiny 2 and/or a third Destiny?
They'll be all right.
I think it's going to be good. I think you know, they'll find somebody because there's a huge player base for it still, and they're dedicated. And Activision seems like they were part of the problem when it came to pushing the game out, because like there was the initial Destiny wasn't even what it wasn't what the Bungie wanted to put out. They had to put out this unfinished game just to hit numbers and be a part of their 10-year plan or whatever that they had for it. You know, Bungie did just fine being under Microsoft's umbrella, so like maybe they just need to get. I don't know if they're gonna hook up with Blizzard since they've done that on the PC route.
Sweet,
you know, maybe they do stuff that way, or maybe they kind of up like double down and now it's a cross platform, cross play environment, kind of like Fortnite. None of us even talked about Fortnite, the biggest game of the year.
Still Fortnite, I'm not playing.
Yeah, but was Fortnite something? Yeah, I think the only person I've seen play Fortnite of the four of us, including myself, the six of us, including
Squad.
Cookie and Scott.
Scott.
I only
Cookie.
Saw you, John, play Fortnite. So tell us, why is Fortnite not your game of the year?
Fortnite isn't my game of the year because I, man, it's...
Because it's not good.
It's a good... No, it is a good game. It is a good game. It perfects what PUBG tried to do, and it's... The memeification of it is on a whole different level for kids that are younger than us. It's like it's the Mario of our generation. It's the 007 GoldenEye of when we were kids. Like, it's something that we don't really understand, but you look at kids and you drive by their school and they're all doing the Fortnite dances, and they're all all they care about is doing the challenges every week, and it's a phenomenon, which I understand it's a fun game. It's just that it's not, definitely not for me. But it's the biggest thing in the world.
At least they're mimicking the dance moves and not like pointing invisible guns at each other and imitating that. That's a plus. Good job, Fortnite. I guess it is a good game. They can get the kids to do the dances and not kill each other.
It's just pretty crazy because like you think of all the games that we used to play. These are the games that... Like,
wrestling, dude. Wrestling games.
The kids that grew up with Minecraft are now like it's basically is Minecraft for to an extent. You have this
it's
wide
the
open
Minecraft.
Area. Yeah, you can this
is that kid those kids.
Yeah. And it's insane.
Neil's like, but I like Minecraft.
Craft your mind, Neil.
And I hate Fortnite. Do you like Fortnite?
Oh, you play? Fuck. You guys, you actually reminded me there was one honorable mention that I did not throw out. That I forgot, and that would be
Vampire.
Because you brought up Minecraft, Subnautica. I don't know if you guys heard about it, but it released on PlayStation 4 and PC this year.
Say what?
And
did
Xbox.
What?
Subnautica is it's got crafting.
Like a gene company.
The idea is that you crash land on an alien planet.
JCPenney.
Pre-bedazzled JCPenney jeans.
You basically have to go and dive into these alien waters and like salvage parts from other rescue pods that have gotten their shit fucked out of them. The cover looks really stupid. John's showing it to you right now. It looks dumb. That game is kind of terrifying.
It looks like a Scholastic book.
That game
looks like you got it at Sam's Club. Sam's Club.
For a Game Gear. That's a Game Gear game right there.
No, I'm telling you, Subnautica is fucking awesome, though. Like,
is it how do you view the world?
First person. First person. Oh, okay. You go.
I guess
dive.
That would make it more scary, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because the ocean's fucking scary.
Is it a VR game?
It is now, actually.
It is now.
Is there ghost fish that come after you?
There are. Like, have you seen?
Is there an octopus?
Have you seen?
I haven't seen the game.
Trying to do anime stuff.
No, I'm just saying.
You?
Have you seen how horrifying fish are in our own ocean?
Yeah, like, if they're really, really low.
I don't like the way bass look at me.
The lower
that dude's like, I'm gonna go dive with a knife and try to kill all these fishes.
The creature.
Well, so the game, like,
that looks kind of fun.
It's a scientific fact.
You kill off some small fish for, like, resources and for food, but, like, generally speaking, you are not fighting anything off. Like, they are going to fuck you up.
That's pretty dope.
It is pretty terrifying. Not the whole game. It's
so. Is it like when you're walking around outside in Soma?
Yes, basically.
I got that game. That was another free game.
Soma's pretty terrifying.
What's the goal?
What's wrong with that cuttlefish?
The goal is trying to survive and maybe escape the island.
So do you have to
world?
Do you have to go down and, like, mine resources and then come up and, like, build things to get off the island, or is that it? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, theoretically speaking, I guess there's, like. No, there are specific things you have to do. Like, you have to go deep enough to get certain things, and the only way to do that would be to build suits that could withstand that type of pressure.
You only have so much air, so much pressure that you could deal with.
Exactly. So, like, there's a natural progression to the game, but at the same time, the world is still, like, completely open. Hmm. It's really
That's
well
pretty
designed.
Cool, actually.
And, like, even though the map itself is actually not that big, the idea is, well, it's not just like you're canvassing a map like you would in Skyrim. You also have to go deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah, tell me more.
Sounds like a good VR game.
It does.
When he first explained it to me.
Yeah, if you're VR in that, it'd
That's
be pretty interesting.
It's so sweet.
So it's VR with Oculus or Vive on Steam. I went ahead and hooked up my PlayStation VR with a third-party program to get it to work on Steam. It didn't do head tracking, and I got so fucking sick as a result trying to play that game, because you're underwater and it's not doing 3D tracking, so, like, all it's doing is gyro. And this is just because I'm using, like, a weird way to get VR.
Gotta get your sea legs, dude.
That pirate, the fake,
well, not pirate, like, I was using the demo for
Viking
it,
to see if it was worth paying for. But basically,
that's
could,
why,
like,
I
could move
too.
My head around to see if nice. I could move my head around and change the direction of the VR, but I didn't have a webcam hooked up to, like, track where my head was in relation to the camera. So if I leaned forward, it wouldn't affect anything. And I think that, along with the fact that you're fucking swimming in the ocean,
that'd be crazy,
just
man.
Made me feel sick to my stomach.
That's good stuff.
But it was actually really cool, and it made me really excited for the concept of it, because the PlayStation VR's resolution is lower than the Vive and Oculus.
It's a great way to get rid of your ocean phobia.
Yeah.
If you can play
I
game.
Think it just made it just, worse for me.
Did it make it worse? You're a little more cautious of bodies of water?
Specifically the ocean, yes.
Any big body.
So has this video game now made it possible for you to not cry during any Jaws movie?
You know what? Jaws is a walk in the park when I consider what could be deeper in the ocean.
To Subnautica.
Subnautica.
Just a big old...
What do you know about the sea people?
Alien flounder that can swallow rocks and
sea
poop
clam people.
Cthulhu's down there.
Okay.
Cthulhu's.
Games that we didn't like in 2018.
I already told you mine. We have a few. The only one I can say I played I did not like.
I got one. I don't know why I thought it'd be better. But 9/11 operator?
Oh my god.
Whoa,
take two.
Oh my god, there's a take two.
9/11 operator.
ISIS games.
Let's take two.
ISIS volleyball.
So 9/11 operator, it is a you play as an operator taking 9/11 calls, dispatching
your, you guys like the weirdest shit. Not even kidding. Why would you care to play that?
I don't know.
You're gonna answer a phone call. Why don't you just go be a telemarketer if you want to answer phone calls and make
them? So like you also dispatch, like, vehicles out to different calls and stuff. So like if there's a fire. You know, you send the fire trucks.
Excuse me.
But like,
this is where it really ramps up.
I kind of got it for the memes at first. And then like, I started to get annoyed the more and more I played it, because you would get calls where it's like, yeah, there's a fire at like such and such and such and such. I think someone might be inside. Oh, and they sound really distressed. And then like you do your prompts, your answers, and you answer something like, all right, we got help on the way. And then like it would cut back to a generic reply response where the guy's like, thank you. Just
yeah. Sure. I mean, even with the name and knowing what it does, I wouldn't play it, Neil. I don't need this.
I don't know why I got it.
It's not saying it's good.
You said because of the memes. I'm sure there were some pretty good memes that were enticing that made you be like,
yeah, like talking.
If I don't like it, who cares?
Like a guy cuts off his legs in one of the scenarios, like with a bandsaw or something, and then like he calls you and you have to talk him through like not like bleeding
how
out.
How to put the tourniquet on?
Exactly.
What? That is insane. What was that game called again?
911.
Can you run to the nearest hospital?
So we Happy Few. I'm not saying it was a terrible game. That was just 100% not for me. And we got Neil.
Why I pictured an Italian guy being the one who lost his legs.
It's just gone. Hey, where my freaking legs go over here? I was walking, and now I have one leg, and I can't walk.
Bandsaw!
Oh, bandsaw, shit!
Damn!
Uncle Vinny showed me a bandsaw in his garage when I was 8. I walked right into this bandsaw.
That's like the only game I can think of like as being disappointing this year. And it's not to say that every game was great. It's just I didn't get into as many games in 2018.
Bandsaw Simulator?
Bandsaw Accident
Bandsaw
Simulator.
Leg Simulator?
You're just cutting your leg off? That's the whole game.
I played a game called Idol Manager. It's still in early access, but
Simulator Manager.
Stare at a computer screen until it's time to clock out. Is that game?
I was like, why can't you just become a normal manager and then idol, huh?
So you're working at like the rest stop next to on the side of the interstate, manager.
Yeah.
So it's a different idol. It's IDOL. So you're a manager
of like different game
girls
entirely and Japanese idols. Yeah.
which are like pop stars.
And that's worse.
I don't know. I'm trying to come up with all these weird games I'd played.
Well, they probably all like want you too, right? Don't they?
No, there's nothing like that implemented yet.
There's no like dating simulator inside of that.
They're not flirty whatsoever.
I think that might come into something.
Surprise.
Into play like as it gets further in development.
But maybe
like,
after the game's been out for
two,
a few years,
found that out
over the age of 12.
It gets a little racy and seedy. Yeah. No, it's more about like trying to manage team chemistry, and you know, like you have to pick like people in the group that
don't pre.
Yes.
Is that what you got? You got to pick people that don't.
Buck, you need to make a game.
You think don't pre?
It's called don't pre
for all these girls that you're coaching for nothing.
Brett Kavanaugh's basketball coaching simulator.
That's pretty good.
With a bandsaw.
He threatens them, like, you don't want your legs to get my bandsaw, do you?
You better
keep your mouth shut.
You better join my basketball
team. You better run a 2-3.
What's the name of this game?
Brett Kavanaugh's basketball management simulator.
That's good, man. We need to write somebody this idea.
You guys better run my 1-3-1 defense, so you're running into the bandsaw.
Yeah, if you get in that 2-3 zone, bandsaw.
You're either running
bandsaw style. That's what he says. Bandsaw style.
We're running the bandsaw zone.
You're either running sprints or you're running your leg into the bandsaw.
This is good. This could work. I don't know who we got to get a hold of.
Cliffy B?
Yeah, Cliffy. I really want to be a voice actor in this game. This would be awesome.
Just blow a whistle.
All right, $20.
Bandsaw.
You're gonna
have a meeting with the Banny.
He pulls out a hacksaw, and the girls aren't intimidated.
Any shitty games that you played, Keith?
Nah.
He's lying though.
What would it have been?
You gotta have one stinker. That's what we're asking. You didn't play.
What was it?
The only new game
you tell me, Buck. Yeah. I don't think I played a single game I was disappointed in.
Okay.
Yeah. But you're probably right. There's definitely
There's got to be one.
Yeah, I'm trying to like dig through my head for him.
But I don't want us to come across as now we're looking for something to hate.
Well,
but
we're not. Because you know I'd hate at every opportunity.
You hate quite a few things.
Did anyone play Fallout 76?
No.
See, nah, I have not played one.
I have not played one Fallout game.
I mean, at this, I honestly don't think that's like the worst thing in the world.
I played one disappointing game, but it's not really that great to talk about. It's literally that NBA Playgrounds game, Playgrounds 2.
You got it on the Switch, right?
I got it on the Switch because I was all hype about basketball. And
maybe
you
should be on this Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah,
there you go. Game.
It was like I wanted an NBA Street game because I'd been playing NBA Street on Volume 2 on PlayStation
and
2.
And it kind of looked like NBA Jam.
Yeah.
You were excited.
I was. And I was.
He wanted me to get it, and I'm like, man,
Yeah, and it's nowhere near has the depth of NBA Street, and it doesn't have the like the raw like style of NBA Jam.
No turbo button, huh?
No, it did.
Okay.
It tried a little bit too much to be like over the top. It just didn't hit the sweet spot like those two games do. Because NBA Jam Volume or NBA Street Volume 2 is my favorite sports game ever, and I just got done playing that on PlayStation. I was like, man, I need a sports game. And I was really disappointed in it because like you, which I thought actually at the beginning, I thought this was a really cool idea. Sorry, I got to sneeze. But when you start the game, you get a pack of cards, and these are like, it's owned by 2K. So it's like the Ultimate Team virtual currency, like card games. Or where you get card packs that you have to actually buy with real money. You get one pack of cards, and that's what your starting players are. Every single player on every team is unlockable from that point. So you have to literally play through the game to get every player on every team. Or
like the starting five?
Anybody on the two-player teams. And you want to share that with the class?
I know. I just didn't want to say that.
anyways, you can either pay $20 to get like all the players unlocked, or you have to unlock them one by one.
But so does every team have a starting five?
Is that no? It's just two. It's two on two.
Oh, so every player only has two players. All right.
Yeah.
That's actually a good segue. You're going to get a little more content than what you wanted, Neil. But.
Well, I just quickly wanted to ask though. Can you tell me which game was the better basketball game between that and Charles Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden?
Playgrounds 2 is probably more polished, but Barkley Gaiden was definitely had the writing and the charm,
the basketball spirit. Right?
Yeah, it really did.
B-ball spirit, excuse me.
Yeah, Balthios.
I think it's one of the best basketball games.
Balthios and LeBron James and Vince Carter, Robo Vince Carter. Robo. Like,
that's as far as we got. But this is a good segue for what I wanted to say about games that came out this year that I didn't get around to playing that I probably definitely will later. And the sports thing was a good segue because I miss having a good sports game. I used to always play the basketball game on the computer when I had for like 5 years when I had my computer, like 2000 to 2005. I would always get the EA Sports.
NBA Live.
Yep. for your computer. I haven't bought one. I want a good one. Matt Stone and Trey Parker should make a, not focus on making another South Park game, but they should make a basketball game.
Well, I think they're making I don't know how involved they are, but there's a South Park. Well, obviously, they're not involved at all. What am I saying? There's a South Park mobile game that's probably taking up most of their time right now. They're developing.
Phone Destroyer?
Time. No, I don't know what it's called.
I think it's Phone Destroyer. That's the one they've been playing.
Is that the one that's kind of like Clash Royale or whatever?
Yeah. It's like the cards.
That game's awesome.
Is there like a story to it at all? Is there funny?
There's
comedy,
a campaign,
or is it just?
Yeah, there's a campaign.
The characters are really funny. Like
really?
Like getting a card that is like Buddha Cartman, and he sits there and he just goes and people like get drawn into him or whatever. I can't remember exactly what happens.
Yeah, he draws the attention and they attack Buddha Cartman. But I think a resolution for this year, I'm going to buy a sports game. It's not going to be any of the basketball ones because those are done. And my love for those isn't gone, but I'm not going to go there. I think I'm going to get the baseball game or the hockey game.
MLB The Show?
Yeah.
I I got the new Madden this game, this year, Madden 19. This is the first time I got a sports game since one of the NBA games a few years ago. I actually absolutely got addicted to the Madden Ultimate Team card game on that. And the graphics and everything in that game was really fun. But it definitely is a grind. And that would have been, as a kid, if they would have had Madden Ultimate Team with the cards. And it's literally a card game, and you can upgrade all of your players and add different attributes and team chemistry and all this stuff inside your Ultimate Team. And that got me hooked this year. So I would recommend getting a Madden game if you were ever into that, just to play that for that sake.
I think I'm going with baseball or hockey, dog.
Hockey games are always fun.
But that's it. What else did you want to?
Games that I wanted to play that I didn't get to this year.
Yes, please.
Spider-Man for sure.
Same right here. Spider-Man
for sure. That's a game that I will platinum. I feel like that's like the spiritual successor to like Infamous. It looks kind of like the same. You're a superhero in a way more fun environment than any Arkham game. And
just Cause 4.
I'm just waiting for all the DLC to come out so I could buy the Game of the Year edition.
Just Cause 4 like just came out of nowhere this year, I feel like.
Yeah.
I'm going to play it eventually. What game did you want to play, Neil?
Now that you bring that up, I kind of
wanted to play Just Cause 4. I know.
If it were free, I would love to play that game just to play with the
That's how I got into it, because I enjoyed Just Cause 3 so much. I'd giggle like a little kid playing that stupid game. That's why I'm definitely going to play Just Cause 4, but I wasn't going to get it right off the shelf. There's no way.
I don't think it's worth it for myself either, too. Spider-Man,
Shadow of the Colossus?
Oh, that did come out this year, didn't it?
I bought that game, and I still haven't put it in.
Oh, well, did you ever play the OG?
A little bit.
Did you play the OG, Keith?
I got the...
Really?
I played the beginning of it on the PlayStation 3 remastered version.
That's something we should probably stream some night.
That would be a solo Keith or Neil stream. Because if you guys watched me play that, I'm going through probably one or two controllers, and it's going to take 60 hours.
Well, and the controls are not very good in the OG one. They fixed them in the remake, which I've heard is actually really good.
But anywho, anything else standing out at you, dude?
Nah, not really. I'm sure somebody will come later.
Did you play Mega Man 11?
Yeah, nah. Did you?
I mean, I'm like good. Like after the Super Nintendo games, I mean, obviously Mega Man X4 was the shit. After that, it's like,
yeah,
you know, they're not going to be able to do anything different, really. So I kind of got it all I needed.
Was there a game that came out this year you didn't get around to, like Red Dead? Or
I do want to play that game just because the reputation's so high for it.
Vampire.
I love GTA 5, but I hated Rockstar games before that. Or just didn't hate them, just didn't have that much fun playing them.
They weren't
now,
a cup of tea.
Right. Yeah. After 5, it's like, yo.
It's crazy that we didn't talk about
for me personally
Red Dead at all, I guess. It's just that, like, I didn't have enough time to play it. And it felt like it took a couple hours for me to get settled into the game. And once I was, like, by the time I was in the groove of the game, it was, like, time for me to go to sleep.
I've heard it kind of feels like it holds your hand the entire time. You almost feel like everything is so well, like, dynamic, I suppose, when it comes to, like, incidents that happen between NPCs and things. It kind of feels like everything is scripted, even though it's, like, a very dynamic system in the game. Does that make sense? Like, it feels like everything is so well done that it feels like it's scripted.
I think it also boils down to how you play the game, too. Because if you play as, like, the good guy, renegade, cowboy, like, everything does... I think everything might feel scripted because there's a lot of, like, dynamic events that happen throughout the world. Like, you find a maiden in distress whose horse had died and collapsed on her leg, and you have to go and save her. But, like, if you play as more of a ruthless cutthroat outlaw, instead of saving her and getting that, you know, kind of mindless generic banter, you just shoot her and take her money, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you also cut yourself out of content that way. I mean, the one thing to point out, though, is that there's an entire different campaign, apparently, on top of that game with the online mode.
Mm.
So, like, maybe the single-player campaign does, like, hold your hand a bit throughout the playthrough, but perhaps the online mode is actually, like, is just further to prepare you for the online mode. Because, I mean, while we like the four of us might not enjoy GTA 5 online or partake in it ourselves, you can't argue that that game is probably bigger than GTA 5, the single player campaign.
That's my biggest, one of my, if you want to talk about like biggest gaming regrets, one was like sticking with GTA 5 when online finally came online.
Yeah.
Because like that took off and I feel like it would have been the greatest thing to get in there and then, you know, we all took the game back.
I'm pissed too.
The heists were fucking awesome in single player mode. Playing that with other people online, like I wish I could do that with people that hadn't played the heist before or the heists before. Because I mean, if you went and played with people online at this point, there's a bunch of people that know exactly how the heist goes.
It wouldn't even be fun.
Imagine being the first time, the first day it came out.
That wouldn't even be fun, dude. Playing those heists now, because when they just school you, aren't you on teams, or am I being dumb?
Yeah, you're on cooperative teams, but they would basically be flaming you if you didn't know what you were doing
in the mission. They'd be like, "What the fuck?"
And even if your team is really competent and you didn't have any pressure to do things, that just makes it feel just as bad if they're like doing everything for you and you're just like, "Oh, okay, what do I do?
I got a shotgun."
Do I shoot this guy?
It's like when they tried to coach us three in like the raid. Destiny raid.
Oh my, that poor guy.
Yeah, I know.
There was one guy who had beat it before trying to coach all these rookies.
Yeah.
And there's no way he was having fun.
So I had to look it up.
There was no way.
Two games that I forgot about that I really wanted to play this year. One was the Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Okay.
I wanted to try that game out because it was the guys who did Guilty Gear and the Persona Ultimax games. And it just looked dope. But Dead Cells was the other one I wanted to play.
Oh, fuck. I played Dead Cells.
Did you?
That game is...
You forget about that one?
Well, I wouldn't put it on my list because I haven't gotten it far enough in. But that game has a lot of promise to it.
I really wanted
cool soundtrack, too.
I really wanted to pick that up on Switch on Black Friday, but I wasn't in deep on The Messenger and Hollow Knight. And I was like, dude, there's only so many like Metroidvania games you could play at one point.
And you'll have time. That game takes a while to beat, it seems like. My girlfriend's in it pretty far on it.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
It seems stressful.
Yeah.
So the game is a roguelike.
You start from the beginning at every time you die.
But there's also like continuity. If you get far enough in, you can do things that will carry over too.
Hmm.
But it stresses you out because it stresses me out because one of the things you'll do is you'll find blueprints. And those blueprints, if you take them to an NPC, will carry over. Because while you die, you might die, the merchants and stuff will be fine, right? Like, they carry through. But once you get that awesome blueprint and you're like, I have no health left, how do I fucking get back to another safe spot where I can give these blueprints over? And then you end up dying and you're just like, well, shit, now I have to go and find this again later. And the world changes. Oh, cool game. 2019, real quickly, what are you guys looking forward to?
Is it safe to say all of us are going to cop Days Gone when it drops?
I will, for sure.
Is that going to be multiplayer?
I don't know if it's multiplayer or not. I do not know enough, but that game, to me...
I don't know. I'm going to be zombied out by the time I'm done with... Resident Evil 2, which is...
Okay, so that's in a couple weeks, though.
Yeah, but Days Gone, when's that coming
April
out?
April 26th.
It comes out in April, not February.
Yep.
My fault.
Yep.
Okay, so April 26th. I'll give you. You'll be all right.
I'll give him that a good maybe.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Like, if it's multiplayer and like we get the squad online.
If all four of us friends could on do that, that would be awesome.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And then... oh, man. I heard a rumor about maybe a Gears 5, but I'm gonna pass. I heard a rumor about maybe Battletoads. I don't know about what console it'll be on. But the other one for sure, probably the other two for sure, I'm gonna get on shelf day would be the Yoshi's Crafted World and the Pokemon game if it drops on Switch. Both of those games will be on Switch. God, Switch was a great investment. Everyone should own a GD Switch.
Yoshi's.
I will once Shin Megami Tensei comes out.
Word. What were you gonna say, Neil?
Yoshi's Woolly World, the last Yoshi game, was actually super fun.
Was it?
Yeah.
So
I'm
awesome.
Super looking forward to Crafted World. That'll definitely be like a day one purchase for us too. Death Stranding, if that comes out this year, that is...
Oh, my God.
No, I ain't coming out.
You don't think you don't so?
No. I think it's 50-50.
I mean, we've seen a lot of... All right, we haven't seen, like, specific gameplay mechanics, but we've seen a lot of gameplay footage.
Where? I haven't seen a gameplay footage.
Him walking around with various backpacks. Yeah. No. Dropping things in the
If anything,
in the
I bet you it comes out next summer. Like, I don't think it'll come out this summer. I think
it might be like December game,
thinking,
for Christmas.
Yeah, I was thinking
or March,
release.
Maybe.
It's a winter game, let's be real.
I think Persona 5 when it comes to Switch.
Oh, shit. That reminds me. P5R.
Yeah, P5R.
Do you think that's going to be the Switch release for it?
I do.
So the R stands for.
Well, okay, so I've heard two things that the R could stand for that would infer it to be a fighter, and that would be Rumble or Rematch.
Oh.
Rematch makes sense because Persona 4 Arena and Ultimax, and then Persona 5 Rematch.
Yeah.
I would prefer, I don't know what the R would stand for, but I'd prefer if it was like a golden situation.
Like Persona 5 Red.
I prefer it to be a re-release of Persona 3. That'd
oh
be
shit,
sick.
Yeah, Red R, that makes sense.
Yeah, Persona 5 Red.
Or
Roja
or
something.
Well, I was thinking like Ruby.
Ruby, yeah.
And then I was like, that sounds way too much like
Pokemon.
I want
Persona Rectangle. 5 on the Switch. I will buy it again. I will play it again.
Ravioli.
You need to play that game.
Do I need to start at the beginning?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Yeah, how else are you going to start?
Well, I mean, in like the franchise.
No,
not at all.
No.
So it's like
in
God
fact,
of,
do not play Persona.
It's not like God of War, like you guys are telling me. You don't need to start.
They're all separate stories. The mechanics carry over, obviously, but they're perfected in 5. So you're good.
And the, yeah.
Yeah, I think you'll actually really like it. Like that's one of the things. I want to know what that means. My most anticipated for 2019 is Sekiro from Software. On top of that, Mortal Kombat 11. I'm hyped for that game, even though...
That was just revealed today.
Today, yeah.
The day of this recording.
And I'm loyal to Mortal Kombat. I'll buy every one that comes out. It's one of the watershed moments in my young video game career. One of my favorite games ever. So I will buy everyone, even though I loved 10's story and I thought the gameplay was awesome. I just don't play fighters like I used to.
Yeah, it's funny. I am willing to accept the fact that I'm probably never going to buy another fighter again. And it's just because I don't ever play them. But I really enjoyed in like a funny way, I guess, the story of 9.
I love 9.
And I mean, like, it's kind of like a travesty and a sham of itself, but at the same time, it's kind of funny.
It's
like,
a slutty story. It's literally like, hey, let's go back in time and retell the whole story.
What if Raiden was like the most incompetent lesser god ever? That's 9.
He fucked it up twice, and now he's the bad guy of the series. Spoiler alert. It's awesome. It's so awesome, though.
So when 10 came out, like, They basically did the best story mode ever in a fighting game.
It was awesome,
It's
man.
Basically a movie. It's a super long movie. And for that reason alone, that's the only reason why I'm excited for 11. But like, I will gladly watch someone else play it.
All the characters you love like pretty much died. Johnny Cage, who everyone kind of didn't really like, is the main character. And Liu Kang and like people listening don't care. Liu Kang and Kitana both die, get resurrected. At the end of the game, they're the leaders of Outworld.
That happens in 9, though, right? They die in 9.
They die in 9, and they get resurrected as 10 as Shinnok's warriors. And then
they take over at the
they
end.
They take over at the end. And so Raiden's the god of the Netherrealm, and he's the bad guy. Liu Kang and Kitana are the king and queen of the Netherrealm, and it's freaking sweet. Can't wait.
You saw the gameplay.
Why
trailer.
Do they turn evil?
Because they died and got resurrected as like...
Oh, they didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
They're just...
So you saw the gameplay trailer for Metal Gear Solid 9.
Mortal Kombat 11. If you get resurrected, like, you don't have any choice anymore?
Well, I mean, it's just
kind of
like,
how it was in Metal Gear.
Water and
Metal
wine.
I'm just saying, like, if it's ever happened in real life.
Does that mean Jesus is the ultimate?
Well, I wasn't going to go there yet.
No, but
okay.
I think
yeah.
I think it's more based upon how they were resurrected. Like they were resurrected by a bad guy
as an army to be
so, okay, kind of like an old school movie plot.
But yeah. Mortal Kombat 11 has the loot and the armor stuff that they brought in from Injustice 2, which was awesome. And Buck knows all about that.
Played that game into the dirt.
But like, it's an RPG and loot based RPG mechanics in a fighter. So like, you could like grind certain things just to get like the best chess piece to put on Scorpion or something.
Which kind of reminds me of...
And you can pick colors. You can swap your colors.
You can swap colors. You can add XP into certain aspects of your character and pick different moves. Because the slogan is called, "You're next." So basically, every character that you might see online might have different movesets, different armor, different attributes and whatnot, and be like a fully like custom character. So that looks really sweet. Like everything's turned into an RPG now, so... now even fighters and sports games and stuff, and I'm really excited about that. I love Mortal Kombat.
Keith?
Okay, well, the games I'm most excited for, they haven't officially been announced for 2019, but I feel it. First one being Death Stranding. I know Neil disagrees with that, but that game looks amazing.
I disagree. Oh, yeah. I disagree.
Oh, John's out here disagreeing.
I think holidays is realistic for that game.
My bad, Neil. I didn't mean to call you out like that. And
unlike every other time we've called
you. Yeah, dude. I've been calling you out. I also want to apologize for the other times I called you out as well. Those weren't called for, except a couple of them.
No, he and I talked about New Year's resolutions, and calling Neil out was like the third one.
Yeah, and I'm doing an awful job.
Dead or Alive 6.
Cyberpunk 2077. I think...
What are you guys at?
There's no way.
What do you mean no way?
I don't even know what game.
They showed a whole hour of completed, just like finished gameplay, even though they're still working on a bunch of other stuff. How is that not possible?
CG.
That was gameplay, bro.
It could be gameplay, but it's still like, these are the guys that made The Witcher 3 or The Witcher in general. I think they're taking their sweet ass time. There's no reason
I'm saying it's possible. It could be 2019. I think this. It's reasonable to think that it might be possible. How about that?
Like in December,
it'll drop.
Yeah,
how long has the game been in production for? Why are you shaking your head like nah?
I think it's announced.
When was it announced? Like
Witcher,
7 years
Witcher
ago.
Witcher 3 came out what? 3 years ago.
I don't know. Yeah, something like that. 2000.
I mean, I've been trying to beat it for 3 years. It seems like
I saw my first video game boob when you played Witcher 3.
Yeah, there's boobs in there.
Your first boob in general.
But I can see this game coming out in like 2020 to 2021.
It's possible 21, dude. People would lose their minds. It's too far away.
I mean, that's Final Fantasy VII remake level.
Final Fantasy
VII
remake isn't even going to happen, man. Let's be real.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen in like 2024.
No,
it's going to get like a 6.
They would sell so much copies if they made that. And I've never even played one, but the way you guys talk it up,
that's the thing.
I kind of did a little.
They'll never give up.
I geeked out and I was like, you know, what's the best Final Fantasy? And it was either 7, 8, or no, 6, 7, or
9.
Or 10. Yeah.
9's real good.
Don't get them started.
you just did. And they're remaking a great list, dude.
They're remaking what?
7.
For 2019.
No, they haven't announced it. Yeah,
they're not remaking anything for. Are they coming out with anything new for 20?
They're releasing those Final Fantasy games on the Switch this year.
So what?
Old ones.
Okay.
So you should play those. I'm gonna probably pick up 6 on the Switch.
From a business standpoint, Square is fine because they're going to have Kingdom Hearts 3 release this year.
I forgot about that.
I thought that'd be a game you were gonna drop when you said there was a game you were excited for.
You know.
Because that's the Disney characters and some dude with a key, right?
Yeah, you had the keyblade.
It was back when they had blank blade. Put your favorite word in and blade.
Penis. How many of those games are there, though? Yeah. There's like
two.
There's two main title ones, but there's like 12,
18, 27.
What?
Like,
dude, I have no idea what's going on in the story, and I just don't want to learn what's happening.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so
that's why I'm not too high for 3. What if it got really convoluted?
What if like there was a video that they made?
Goofy's a bitch.
It was a video that went from the end of one.
They are, and they're like 2 hours long.
Oh.
No, it's worse than that. It's no shit. Than that.
Longer than that. Just understand what's going on in the story.
I didn't even have an unoriginal idea like that. They already do that every game they drop.
No, not necessarily. It's not them. It's fans that create the videos.
Fan created.
And then they upload them to your favorite place, YouTube.
They make the cartoon or they use clips from the game?
They capture clips from the game and put it on. And then they put it on Pornhub because that's the only place that would...
Yeah, it gets a lot of views there.
There's a guy that pips the screen where it's...
I mean, when
Kingdom Hearts, it's Kingdom Hearts, of course. And then their game that they're playing.
Speaking of GIMP suits, Killer7.
Okay.
I mean, have you played enough?
I have not played much of it. I own it.
Okay.
So
the game and then you're going to see the people in the GIMP suits and you're going to be like, oh yeah, Neil told me about this.
All right. I'll never forget.
GIMP suits.
Are you guys like even interested in like multiplayer games anymore? Do you have any interest in like Anthem or?
I wanted one for a while.
Okay, so I heard something. Searching.
Killing Floor 2 is still dropping new stuff, Keith.
I seen that.
I'm looking on my soapbox for a second about Anthem. So why I'm not looking forward to Anthem is because I'm depressed that no matter what happens, and this is not an original thought. I heard it on a podcast called Super Beast, like Castle Super Beast.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, I had to think of that one for a while.
It's like a gross name generator.
When the guy said this, it made immediate sense to me that Anthem symbolizes the end of BioWare. So BioWare, as we know it, is Mass Effect and Dragon Age, right?
Anthem is a music number associated with a certain thing. That's that thing in Anthem.
So Anthem, if Anthem succeeds, BioWare is now the Anthem company. That's all they're going to be. That's like Destiny and Bungie.
Yep.
If Anthem fails,
there's no BioWare.
BioWare gets canceled. Yep. Yeah. So as a result, that kind of bums me out.
That's good. We want them canceled so they can be free and start their new company.
No, like they're going to get dissolved, and then their staff members are going to get distributed into other various EA.
It's like by EA. I thought they'll just fire everyone.
Their new company is going to be called Ballad.
Do you think they're under contract? They'd still have to work? Well, regardless, if they get fired,
they don't own any of their own
IPs.
Well,
you have me worried.
Or Sonnet.
They're fucking gone.
You have me worried, Neil.
And Mass Effect failed triumphantly. Well,
did you hear about Visceral Studios news that came out like yesterday? So Visceral, the guys that did Dead Space, they created Dead Space, and they were put to task for a Star Wars game. That Star Wars game got canceled like yesterday.
No. So that game got canceled last year-ish. Or like months ago.
I swear it was yesterday.
No, Visceral got shut down, has been shut down for a while, if I'm not mistaken. And
I was way off.
And then... But
Samsonite.
No, but you're right, because someone else in EA was working on...
It was like an open world Star Wars game.
Yep, so they've canceled two Star Wars games within the last year.
But why?
And I just want a Dead Space 4.
Yeah.
I just want to...
I'm interested in Anthem.
A racing game and a sports game.
I'm gonna pick up Division 2 this year. I think I'm gonna retire my Destiny. I've put enough hours into that. It's time for something different. I really want to try Division 2 because I've heard Division finally came around and is actually really fun to play now. And I want to try that. I definitely want to try Anthem. I'll give that a shot. But yeah, those are like the two multiplayer games I really want to play. And I will be picking up Mortal Kombat 11 on Switch because it's coming out on Switch.
And I guess to answer your previous question about multiplayer games, like, I think I'm always looking for something to play. It's just that a lot of multiplayer games now are like either MMOs or loot shooters or something that if I don't put in the same amount of time as like my friends that play it, I get left behind. And because I'm still like way more devoted to single player campaign driven games or story driven games.
Same here.
I'm going to get left behind.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel good.
I'm so with you on that, Neil. It's the MMOs thing is kind of burning me out. It feels like you're just chasing a carrot on the end of a stick right in front of your face. Like and a little rabbit.
A lot of multiplayer games are like driving.
But isn't that just life?
You're just chasing some tits, you know?
Never get a bear your face into them.
Never. Nope.
At the end of the day.
And that's what MMOs are.
Big old pair of fatties.
That's what the 2-0 stand
running
for.
MMO.
MMO tits. Oh, jeez.
So that's my big thing with online shooters right now. But then I haven't played Fortnite, so.
Did you play Black Ops 4?
I haven't.
Fortnite is legitimately the type of multiplayer game that I should like then? Because in contrast, it's not about progression. At the start of each match, you're reset to the beginning.
Yeah,
right?
you find the place you want to loot, and yeah.
I'm just looking for different things. That's why I like Dead by Daylight so much.
Have you been playing that on PlayStation 4?
I played it like every night for 2 months when it first came out on the PSN. Y'all think it's funny because you guys refused to play with me.
I'm just saying, I just picked
up. Let's not air that out.
Keith refuses to play anything that we play.
Right. Goddamn hypocrite.
All I'm saying is that I also just recently picked up Dead by Daylight, or rather got it for Christmas, and I actually personally haven't been playing it.
It was a free game in December.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, he doesn't have PS Plus, though.
Shoot.
Yeah, I only got PS Plus.
He plays it on his Gateway.
So what were those two games in a row?
So Friday the 13th and Dead by Daylight.
And Dead by Daylight came first as far as the free games.
Yeah,
on PS
Friday
the
13th came out in October.
I mean, to be quite frank, it's the better video game of the two.
Absolutely.
Like, it's better balanced and stuff.
So there's a certain amount of characters you can pick from, and then they have their own perks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Dude, I couldn't. I played a couple times, and I don't know if it was because I was playing with other crappy people. For like being the first time you're playing it, I couldn't do it, man. I'm like, how much am I going to have to grind to be good at this game? I'm done.
Oh, but the skills aren't that important. There's like, I guess there's three really good skills in the game. But for the most part, it's...
I'll stick with Killing Floor 2, dude.
That game kicks ass.
Pick up that game again. Both of those games, though, reminded me of how good Left 4 Dead was. Just made me want to play Left 4 Dead.
It's a great game.
Mm.
Came out with two of them. I'm surprised they're not trying to get back out there. They're probably not even a thing anymore.
So
it's whoever
Valve,
made those
Valve,
games.
Valve did.
Isn't Vermintide essentially Left 4 Dead?
I don't know what that game is.
There's like a few horde shooter type first person games out that are like not Left 4 Dead and not Modern Time that I think are similar.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know.
All right, we'll just play Minecraft together. That's 2019
no.
Fancy Ramen Minecraft.
No.
We're going to play
Buck
NBA 2K.
Buck gets really into Minecraft.
Hey, guys.
Like, he hasn't slept in 2 days once he plays it for the first time.
Have you seen my castle? And then Keith will just burn it down.
I'm like, yeah, cool, the torch.
I'm listening to No Way Out on loop playing Minecraft.
Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge.
Trying to stay out of bad boy.
Okay.
Take that.
Any
take that,
hot
buddy.
Takes for 2019 before we end this?
I got nothing, Neil.
It's going to be a fantastic year once Cyberpunk 2077 comes out.
And
I'm going to love that shit.
I'm going to platinum Bloodborne. It's going to happen.
My hot take is stop giving me so many dope free games. Let me catch up here.
And Keith, we're on the record for predicting that Death Stranding's coming out in 2019.
100% coming up. You heard it here, folks.
He's got a direct line to Kojima.
He sent me an AIM message the other day.
Did Kojima like private message you photos of Quiet
cosplay ASL.
Again?
It was Morse code.
He said ASL ? And I said Kojima.
Are you sure it wasn't Kick and he's now you're part of his sex group?
Well, yeah.
It was a Tinder
sex group.
It was a Tinder bot
happened.
Message.
I would love to be. I bet they're all furries. Dude, you know what I would be if I was a
racist.
Furry? Why was that racist? No one sees anything under a furry. You could be anything. I'd be a flamingo.
You'd be a flamingo furry?
Yeah.
They don't have fur.
Is that a thing? But they have feathers, and I think furries can be
it's an animal. You just
animals.
Anything can be a furry as long as
if
costume.
You have the right costume.
Yeah. Buck, you know an awful lot
furry.
About furries.
Yeah.
You got flamingo legs. I can see it.
Flamingo. Free shrimp.
If I was a flamingo,
I'd get
free shrimp. Yeah, your demeanor's
you dress up as
really
a flamingo
changed.
and hand out free shrimp at Sam's
no,
Club
I would
on
get
Sundays.
Free, I would get free shrimp,
oh.
John.
Oh.
Jay Frey.
Yeah.
All by day. The way, again, let's just do a couple more shout-outs. We got Jay Free there on Spotify, also on his Twitter handle. And
that is, you look on Spotify and search Jay Free all day, you'll find Artie Strongman and I with an album called House on all streaming platforms.
It's dope. It's kind of like one song goes into the next song, but it's like five different songs.
Aged like fine wine.
God damn. And my man to my right here, it's a Keith, make your last name up, and you can also find him under the name of...
Artie strong man. God.
And he's got some things out there on SoundCloud, on Spotify, on YouTube.
We're not done. We forgot about some.
What's that?
The most Last important of Us Part man.
Two. Last of Us Part Two, 2019.
No
predictions.
Way.
What do you mean, no you're, way? These games have been done. In production forever.
And Neil, he's done. We did Jerry his shout outs. He's made his dumb predictions.
He's Jerry Seinfeld.
We also got.
You guys really don't think this Last of Us 2 is going to drop?
We also got Neil. Neil, give a couple shout outs. What you got going on?
They'll announce the release date at E3 this summer.
Ramen TV. Ramen TV for the Twitch and for the YouTube.
Yeah,
and
you can.
And I'm just Buck.
You can watch Buck and I stream separately and maybe together at twitch.tv/fancyramenTV.
I'm just Buck. I got nothing going on.
I'm going to finish Suikoden sometime this year, I'm sure, the series on Sundays at 8 a.m. Central.
I don't have a schedule. I just kind of go on when I go on.
Right, hey, that's
now,
fine.
I'm playing Darksiders.
Hopefully do that too.
I'm almost done. I'm not sure what I'm going to play after Darksiders. It might be Doom. I might stream Doom.
It might be Doki Doki Literature
Is
Club.
The new Doom coming out in 2019?
No, but I never played the original one. I bought it.
You mean Doom 1984?
No, not the original. Good Lord, Jeff. I've never played the one that came out like on Xbox One and PS4. I have it for PS4.
I was going to say, didn't I borrow your copy?
Yeah.
I was mad confused. Like, whose game did I play?
Yeah, you played my copy of Doom.
And I have it on Xbox One. I haven't played it yet either.
It's such a good game.
Well, that's the next one I'm going to play.
Yeah,
I'm trying to switch it up. I'm trying to do, I'll do a shooter, and then I'll go to like something on the NES mini that I bought, or the SNES mini that I bought. So I'll try to switch it up. I'll do shooter, and then two other games, then I'll go back to a shooter, because those... I don't know why. Those will probably just always be my favorite.
Dude, I'm ready for a shooter too, because I've been playing Hollow Knight, Messenger, and Bloodborne. I'm ready for a shooter.
I did. I played Wolfenstein 2 this year. That and Destiny were the only two shooters. You know, other than that, I played Darksiders. I went back and played the first Injustice. It doesn't matter what I played. We're done with this podcast. I hate you, Neil.
Yeah, you can write into podcast@fancyramen.com. And if you want to hear John, Keith, and Buck, or Jeff, some more, write in, comment, and do whatever it is that you do. Show your appreciation for these three guys,
or just troll me,
and we'll make it more than a yearly thing. We can come back next week if we have to.
Yeah, and I'll troll you back.
I thought you were gonna say something else.
Nope, that's all I had.